This sermon is brought to you from the pulpit of Parkway Baptist in Fort Oglethorpe, Georgia.
Bibles this morning. We are going to be in Matthew chapter number 2, and we're going to continue in Pastor's sermon series that he started last week titled Christmas Unwrapped. And as we dig into the text this morning, I want to try to bring a few truths to you. So if you got your Bibles, Matthew chapter 2, we're going to pick up in verse 1 through verse 12. If you got your Bibles, you can stand for the reverence and the reading of God's Word. It says in verse 1, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with them. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet." And then I can just picture Jake Sampson reading this from the play the other week. It said, "And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are not the least among the princes of Judea, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." It says in verse 7, "Then Herod, when he had privily, called the wise men and inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was." And I want to zone in on these next three verses for our text this morning. Verse 10 says this, "And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way." You may be seated. This morning, I want to preach on a subject that at first you won't really understand, but I want to bring some things out. When following a star leads to a shack. And I'm going to bring out some parallels in this, but I was reading of a popular TV actress that told the story about cooking her first Christmas turkey. And she confessed in the interview that she was not a very good cook. But after several years of marriages, she wanted to give this a try. She wanted to give it a try. It says, "Shortly before the meal, she sat her husband and her son down and gave them strict instructions. She said, This may not come out exactly the way you want it to. If it is not a good turkey, please don't say anything. Without any comment, just stand up from the table and we'll go to the nearest restaurant and we'll eat there." It says a few moments later, she walked into the dining room excited with the turkey that she had just cooked. And there stood her husband and son already in their coats and hats. Here's the point I want to get from this story. Our expectations control our conduct. Our expectations control our conduct. We conduct our lives and daily affairs on what we expect from them. Let me illustrate this a little bit further with Christmas coming up. How many of you parents have a hard time getting your kids to go to bed on the night before Christmas, right? They are up all hours of the night. This is the first time in their life that they are up at 4 a.m. excited and wide-eyed to see what is going on for Christmas. But fast forward and Christmas breaks over and it becomes the first day that they go back to school. Now the kid that was exciting and anticipating was easy to get up. Now you have to go pour buckets of water on the child to get them to wake up. What has changed? A person's conduct and attitude are greatly influenced and shaped by their expectations. So when we think about this Christmas story this morning, I want not just to read a great story, because we've all heard this all of our lives, but I want us to put ourselves in the position of these wise men. Think about what they are thinking. Think about the things that are going on in their mind. And I want you to consider this principle as we talk about this account of the wise men in Matthew chapter 2. What happens when you are following a star? You think about this. They are following something that is leading them to the king, that is leading them. So they had anticipation. They had all of the things that they thought this would be. But what happens when you follow this star for a long time and it leads you to a little bitty shack? Imagine these wise men. Put yourself in their position this morning. They pull up at the house where Mary and Joseph were, and Jesus was around 2 years old at this point. Imagine the shock and the confusion on their faces when what they thought they were looking for is nothing at what they are seeing in front of them. You can imagine they're thinking, wait, this can't be right. Somewhere we must have taken a wrong turn. This is not what I was expecting at all. They were in search of the King of the Jews to worship him, and no doubt they expected to walk into a palace and find him, because after all, he was a king. It only seemed logical to go to a palace in Jerusalem where you would find the king. But the Bible says eventually the star reappeared and led them to something that was far from what they ever imagined, far from what they would have ever dreamed and envisioned. It says that they came to a little house in Bethlehem in verse 11, 3 to 5 miles away. And it was there that Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus were residing in a house at the time. And the word house is translating meaning a abiding place, a residence, a shelter. But we know that reading the background of Mary and Joseph, they were very poor. So it is safe to say this morning that this was not a very spectacular house. It was probably not something that you would wow at. But it was there that they found the king that they had been searching for. Imagine the surprise on their face. So I ask you again this morning, what happens when all of a sudden, after thinking and dreaming of something grand, you can imagine that along this journey, they had envisioned what they would walk upon. They had dreamed and had all of these plans thought out of what it would look like, what it would be, the glory and the extravagant of all that was going on, of this divine journey that they were being sent on, only to end up in front of a shack. And there, instead of a palace, instead of marble floors, you find a young peasant mother and her child dressed in rags living in a hut with dirt floors. What is your response? Because clearly this was not your expectations. This is not what they were thinking. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the initial shock on the faces of these wise men? The natural disappointment that they may have felt in their heart when knowing they were expecting a mansion, they were expecting royal courts, they were expecting a palace and a king, only to come upon a humble shack not fit for any baby to be born in, much less the king of the world. Now switch gears this morning. I want to think about this and apply this to our life. How can we, looking at this story, how can that affect me in my everyday life? So every single one of us in this room this morning are going to experience times in life when we feel like we're doing the right thing. We feel like, you know what, I'm following God's will. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. But yet we're following the will of God. We know that God is leading us. We know that God is putting us in the right expectations. And we expect to see something grand and something marvelous at the end of the journey. We're expecting, we're believing, we're clinging to the promises that God can do all and above all that we ask or think. We have dreams, we have ambitions, and we think, here's what my life will look like. We think, here's where I'm going to be in life. Here's where I want to be in life. We have dreams for our family, ambitions, all of these things. Excitement on where God is going to lead us. But there are times in our life, and I want you to understand this, that instead of getting the palace that we had envisioned in our mind, we receive a shack. Instead of an exalted place, many times we may receive a humble place. Instead of a place of prosperity where we think we should be at this time, we find a place of poverty. Instead of ease and just going through and everything's going to be okay when I come to Christ, I've got these expectations of how He's going to bless my marriage, how He's going to bless my children, how He's going to do all of these things. Instead of finding ease, we find hardship and we find difficulties. Everything that seemed so promising initially, but now our expectations have come crashing down, and we sit there like these wise men had to be confused. Surely this is not right. Surely there's been a mistake. I think about a young college kid who was both smart and athletic and seemed to have the world at his fingertips. He was spiritually mature for his age and his generation and dreamed of one day going into the ministry and being the next Billy Graham. Then one night, he was in a terrible automobile accident, thrown over 100 feet from the car. He ends up in intensive care in Columbus Hospital. Now he's crippled. Now he's facing all of these different surgeries. And now for the first time in his life, his future is unclear. An hour before the wreck, we would have all said, this kid is following a star. His future is bright, and it is unlimited what God will do in this kid. And now he's sitting there facing the unknown. Sometimes you watch a young couple that stands before an altar and they say their wedding vows, and on that day, everything seems perfect. Everything is gorgeous. Everything looks promising. And then a little time passes and one or both of them wonder, why has this star, why has God led me to this place that has disappointed all of my expectations? I thought they were going to be this person, but in return, here's what I got. There are parents and grandparents that have been overjoyed at the birth of their children and their grandchildren. And early on, it seemed like the kids were going to love them and appreciate them and give them honor and respect that they have been that they've been taught unto them. But over the years, the hearts of those kids and those grandkids begin to pull away from God. They were doing the right thing, bringing up in church, teaching them the Bible, and they thought that they would reap the benefits of this. They had expectations for their kids, expectations, dreams for their grandkids. But all of a sudden, instead of enjoying the intimacy of those relationships like they were supposed to be, now they only experience heartbreak from them. Instead of receiving honor in their senior years, now they're receiving the opposite. When a star has led you to a place that doesn't make any sense. I think this morning of widows who have looked around, looked forward to spending the golden years of their life with their mates and together with their mates serving the Lord. But sickness has struck their homes, taking their spouses, and now they're forced to face their final years all alone. It was not supposed to be this way. This was not what I have envisioned. It was supposed to be different. I did not see this coming at all. And we stand at the door just as these wise men did. But this morning, one of the most beautiful examples that we have in the Christmas narrative is of these wise men. Because through their actions and the way they responded to something that did not look how they had envisioned it at all, through their actions, they model for us some important truths to remember when following God's will, when following the star, leads you in your own life to a shack, to a place that you were not expecting. So this morning I want to give you four quick things on how we can find hope when following a star that leads to a shack. Look at verse 11 in our text. It says this, "And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and they worshiped him." Number one this morning, when wise men find a shack, they still look for God. God's people, here's what we understand. We understand that being a child of God, there are going to be difficult situations in our life. We're not exempt from those. In fact, when you become a follower of Christ, it intensifies in your life. But even though we find difficult situations, we can still seek God's will in those situations. But when you are following God's will as a believer, here's what you can do. This is what defines you as being wise, when you can still trust that even in a situation that you don't like, that you don't understand, that makes no sense, a mature believer can still say, even in this place in my life, I still know that God has led me to this place, that God has a purpose in this place, and God's not done with me, even though I'm in a place I never thought I'd be. Despite what it looks like, it may look like a shack on the outside, I still know that God is somewhere on the inside of the situation that I'm in. I think about Joseph in the Old Testament, that was such a wise believer. In the beginning of his story, you can imagine that it seemed like Joseph was going to be the next greatest thing. He was going to rise to the top of the family with a silver spoon in his mouth. And you can imagine, as a teenage boy, Joseph had all of these dreams and ambitions of what he thought his life would look like, what he had planned out for his life. And if you were to ask him where he was going to be in 10 years, like they ask you in school, I can guarantee you he would have never picked where God was going to lead him in the next few years of his life. But then his life changed. Then his brother sold him into slavery, and it was in Egypt. He kept experiencing setback after setback. He was lied upon by working faithfully for Potiphar. And after 13 years of hardship, God raised him to be the prime minister of Egypt. And when he finally encountered his brothers, they were fearfully and regretfully apologizing him. But I want you to notice something today. How do you recall that Joseph responded in this time? It would have been easy for him to be mad at his brothers. It would have been easy for him to be mad at God, saying, you know what, I didn't sign up for this. I thought that my life would be this, but here I am. I've been following your will, God. I've been following what you want for me, and I've found myself at this shack that I don't understand, a place that I'm not familiar with. But look at his responses in Genesis chapter 50. It says, and Joseph said unto them, fear not. Why? For I am in the place of God. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. And I think about that story, and I think about the wise men this morning. Joseph never became bitter at God. Joseph never fell into despair. Joseph never gave up on life, nor did he even seek revenge. Because wise men, when they are in situations that are not where they want to be, wise men look for God in whatever place they find themselves. And if you know that God is even in those areas of disappointment, even in those areas that you don't want to be, you can trust in his presence that he's still going to provide the grace that is needed to overcome that situation, overcome that area of life, and you can trust in him. In fact, you can look to him and you can find rest in the fact that even in this place, even in a place of disappointment, even in a place of I don't want to be here, even in those places, even though it's hard, it is still part of the plan of God for your life. But the problem today is weak believers, we only see God in the good times. Let me say, that's not hard to do. It's not hard to see God when everything in your life is lining up. When your children are good, when your health is good, when everything seems to be going smoothly, it's easy to worship God. It's easy to see God in the blessings of life. But what will you do when you are led to a place of unexpectancy? What will you do when you are put into a place that you are not prepared for? And you say, how did I get here? I think about many times we think, why me? Why us? God, I'm trying to do the right thing. Why my family? Why my kids? God, why me? I think about many times in our life that we never envisioned that life would bring us to the places that it's brought us in life. But it is there in the dark moments of life that you can still see God like never before. The question is this morning, can we and will we? Or will we let the disappointments in life cause us to turn bitter? Can we still find God in the blurriness of uncertainty? Let me say this morning, let me give you some encouragement. Just hold on. Amen. It's just one chapter in your story. God is not done writing your story. Do not give up. Do not walk away. This too shall pass. Hold your head up high and cling to the fact this morning that no matter where life leads you, you are not alone. Amen. God is with you. But the second part of chapter 2, verse 11 says this. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother. And I want you to notice this. And they fell down and they worshiped him. Number two this morning, when a wise man finds a shack, they can still worship God. You can still worship God even in the difficult seasons of life. This is what defines you as a wise person. I think about Job this morning. Job had it all. Everything that would deem him as being successful, Job had it. But in one moment, he lost it all. I think about this morning, how did Job respond to disappointed expectations? No doubt as a father, he had dreams and ambitions for his own kids, where God would lead his family, what would God do with his family, all of the things that all of us have and think about every single day. But how did he react when God's star, the will of God, brought him to a shack? You say, what is a shack in his life? It was literally an ash heap of a broken life where once he gave sacrifices for blessings. Now he is standing in the ashes of a broken life. He has lost everything, lost his kids, lost his livestock. And there in the middle of a broken life, here's the way that he responds. In Job 1:19, it says this, "And behold, there was came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they were dead, and I only escaped alone to tell thee." Here's what I want you to notice. Look what Job did. Look at Job's response. "Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped." And can you imagine the disappointment that had been dealt to Job, all of the heartbreak, all of the pain? It would have been easy for Job to get mad at God, to get bitter, but it does not say that he cursed God. It does not say that he talked bad about God. It does not say that he walked away or walked away from his relationship, but it says in the middle of a broken season in his life, he fell down and he worshiped God regardless of the situation. And he said in verse 21, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Verse 22 says, "In all of this," can you imagine? All of this, everything that you have is taken away. How would we respond? It says, "In all of this, Job sinned not, nor charge God foolishly." And I think about that this morning. I think about these wise men and all of the people that we've been reading about. How easy it would have been for Job to quit. How easy would it have been for Job to walk away from everything? He had literally lost everything that this world would say you need to be successful. Yet in the face of disappointment, this began to touch my soul. In the face of disappointment, in the middle of all the hurt, all the pain, with tears in his eyes, with questions of why and how is this going to happen to me? There's no doubt that he had all of those things. But in the middle of it all, through the disappointment, the pain, the hurt, the tears, in the middle of it all, he fell on his knees and he worshiped God. And it was in that moment that God blessed Job because of his obedience. And what Job could not see before, the Bible says now he could see. But it was after the loss, the disappointment, after all of the confusion, when life took him to the lowest point in his life, it was there that he found everything that he needed. He was able to still lift up God. So my question to you this morning is this. What about us? When we are brought into a season, a place of obscurity, can we still worship there? Man, this is real. God, I will worship you no matter what. Why? Because above my situation, above my circumstance, above what this life can take away from me, above the disappointments and all of the things that come in this life, above all of those things, God, you are worthy to be praised and you are worthy to be worshiped. Notice back in our text, verse 11 says this, "And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and they worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and wait, there's myrrh." When the wise men, number three this morning, when the wise men find a shack, they offer God their best. See, here's the temptation we face in this life. Many times the temptation when we find ourselves in places of discouragement, when we find ourselves in places of disappointment, the immediate temptation is to hold back, right? We find disappointing places unworthy of our best. And our natural inclination many times is to give as little as possible. Yes, I'll still be here. Yes, but God, I can't give you my best because I'm disappointed in where I'm at. I'm disappointed in where I'm facing, all I'm going through in this life. And we look at this pitiful and humble and this frustrating condition of life and we say, this thing does not deserve my best. We do it in marriage all the time. If it hits a low point, we tend to think, well, I've done all that I'm going to do. I'm not giving everything to this marriage anymore. I've done what I can. I don't want to be here, so I'm going to just hold back. Friends, let me give you encouragement this morning. Let me charge you that in everything that you do, and in every place that we are called to live out our Christianity, we are called to do it unto the Lord. Everything that you do, that means giving that job, that though the job is not where you want to be, though you wish you would have had a better job or you didn't get the raise or whatever the case may be, whatever you do, you give that job your best because you're not working for that employer. You are working unto the Lord. That means giving that ministry that you look at many times. We think, well, I wish my ministry was like so-and-so's. And we get caught in comparison of ministry. God never called us to that ministry. God has given us our own ministry. We are to be content in that thing. And we think, man, I wish I would have had more. I wish I could have done more. But even in those disappointments, even when you feel like it's not significant and that you decide I'm not going to give it my all. But when you see yourself, when you define yourself as a wise person, you can offer God your best regardless of the place of service and regardless of the conditions of it. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says this, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Here's what Paul was saying to the Roman believers. For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. And as the pianist comes this morning, I'm going to close out with one more point. In verse 12, it says this, and being warned of a dream of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed unto their own country another way. Lastly, this morning, when wise men find a shack, they stay sensitive to God's direction. They stay sensitive. You think about the story. The story would have ended so much differently if they would have decided to not listen to where God was directing them and they went back to King Herod. What would have been if they would have disobeyed the direction and the instructions of God? And I think about in our own lives many times, it's in these moments of life, these places of life where we think, you know what? I don't want to be here. Why am I here? God, why am I going through this? Why me? Why us? It's in these moments that Satan comes on the scene and seeks to destroy God's people and sabotage their lives because he knows that it's in these low times in life, these start a shack moments, that are opportunities to attack God's children and fight what he is doing in their lives. And as the pianist plays, I think about this. It's in these places. I started thinking about my own life. Many times we have to step back and examine where we are. Yes, there's been disappointments. Yes, there's been times. And I can say that it was in these moments of unknown, the uncertainties, the difficulties, when I didn't understand how God was working, what he was going to do, how he was going to bring me out of these situations. When I was sitting in a broken life, people all around walking away. And I would thank God, how? How can you get me out of this? And it was in this place in my life that the enemy worked harder than ever to sow doubt and to sow disappointment and discouragement in my life. And I remember that this was my life. I walked away from everything I knew. I came to a place where I hit rock bottom wondering how in the world did I get here? And I remember the devil coming and trying to sow this into my life thinking, if God really loved you, why would you be here? And I think that that's many times what we think. When we find ourselves, we look at all of these people around us that aren't even trying. God, I'm trying to live right. I'm trying to raise my children the right way. Why are we facing this? Why us? And here comes the enemy. If God really loved you, why would you be here? Why would you be in this place in life if you served a God that really cared about you? It sure does not look like God cares for you, because look what you're going through. Why is it so-and-so going through? Why is it you? But I'm going to tell you, what marks a wise man, wise woman, is even in those moments, you stay sensitive to God's leading. Because they know that the wrong actions in these times, the wrong attitudes, the wrong things in these moments can have terrible and lasting consequences on your life. My question this morning, maybe that's where you're at. Maybe you have found yourself in a place of obscurity, a place of the unknown, the uncertainty, and you don't see how you're going to come out of this. My question this morning is, how will we respond? I think about this story this morning. This story would have read so much differently if they would have responded the wrong way. And so would many of ours. Where would we be? But let me encourage you this morning. When you find yourself in a situation where you found yourself at a place that looks like a shack, something you didn't expect, something that has disappointed you, what do you do in those moments? Here's what you do. You keep walking. You keep trusting. You keep seeking God's face, even in the disappointments of life. You keep worshiping, not when things are good, but in all seasons, in all areas, the good, the bad, the ups and downs. You worship God in everything. Let this be the call of our heart to remain faithful to God and worship the God we know that never changes, even when we don't understand what He is doing. Because here's the thing, behind the scenes, we don't see the beauty of His infinite wisdom in our lowly circumstances. The Christmas story is a perfect example. What seemed insignificant, what seemed, why would God do it this way? No kingdoms, no palaces, just complete poverty. But behind the scenes, the beauty of the Christmas story was wrapping itself. And God knew exactly what He is doing. Same thing in your life. When you don't understand, you just keep trusting Him. You keep seeking Him because you may not understand, but I can promise you there is a God in heaven that sees all and knows all. You can trust the author this morning because guess what? He's still writing your story. He has a plan and He has a purpose that will shine through the darkness. So hang on. Keep walking. Keep trusting. Keep believing. So with every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. Maybe that's where you are. This season of life that you never expected to be. You say, Lord, I don't know what to do. There's the danger of walking away. There's a danger of being bitter. There's a danger at just quitting altogether, quitting life, quitting your family, quitting your children. But maybe today you will bring that burden. The questions, the concerns, the hurt, the pain. Bring those things to the feet of Jesus this morning. You say, God, I don't understand. I don't know how I got here. God, I don't know how You're going to work through this. But God, I am trusting You. God, You are in control. You are sovereign. You see all. You know all. And in the dark and the disappointing stages of life, in the phases of life that we don't like and we don't understand, God, it's in these moments that I'm going to seek You more.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Parkway Baptist, please visit our website at www.parkwaybaptist.me. That's www.parkwaybaptist.me.